Some of you may have climbed up on the website and listened to this sermon that I preached at Bethel last week, but it's not the same sermon. Same text, same title, completely different message because I'm in a different place this week. But it's the same theme, and it's the same understanding of what David went through here. Not only that, but I understand a little more about who David was, and we're going to look at that this morning, and his experiences in relation to what he was writing about. So let us look at beginning of verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes Your Word opens up to us like a flower, and sometimes we have to dig a little further. And sometimes You present it to us on a silver platter. Easy, ready to be taken in. I ask, Lord, as we gather together, that what we hear today would be digestible by us. That we could receive it with joy and let it become part of who we are. Thank You, Lord. And I ask that each one of us here would receive the message You have for us. Thank You, Lord. And to that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. This passage, we're not just going to look at the first four verses. We're going to use most of the whole psalm to explain what he's talking about. And you may be familiar with parts of it. But at the very end of it, when we get to the conclusion of this psalm, you're going to see two verses that just don't seem to make sense with the rest of it. Until you understand it the way he was thinking about it. When I was a kid, I was afraid of authorities. You know, if they told me I couldn't do something, I didn't do it because I was scared. They were bigger than me. A lot bigger. When I was a little boy, my parents used to tell me, Santa Claus is watching you. And I thought that was a bad thing. They said if you weren't good, you'd be in trouble because Santa Claus would know. So I grew up with this air of mystery about life that I was being watched. And that everything I did wrong, somebody knew about it. And that was bad. Real bad. Because I couldn't get away with anything. You know how they say, you know, mom knows everything? How do you know? Well, moms know everything. Have eyes in the back of their head and ears all over the country. Well, it's true, but the phone line sometimes works better. Sometimes my problems beat me home. Sometimes my home would beat me. Because my problems beat me home. Y'all wouldn't know about that, would you? No. I remember one time in my high school years, this is kind of a cute story I hadn't planned on telling, but I'll tell on myself. One day it was raining. It was my senior year in high school. And I asked Dad if I could drive the car to school. And he said, well, it's raining, so just go straight to school and straight home. And I said, what about the Sanders boys? He didn't like the Sanders boys. He said, they only live a block and a half from school. You go straight to school. Well, I got close to school and I knew my dad was driving a school bus. And he wasn't at school. He was driving a school bus, so no one would know. So about a block and a half from school, I turned left, turned right, pulled in the driveway, honked the horn, and picked up the Sanders boys. Now, it's raining, and I'm a good driver. I turn my lights on when it's raining. And so they saw me pulling their drive, and they came out and got in, and they were real thankful. And we pulled into the school parking lot and sat there. And I said, don't get out of the car until Dad goes by in the bus. I don't want him to see you guys get out. And so we shut the motor off and we're sitting there. And at that time, we all sat there smoking our Salem lights. Not that Dad would notice when he got in the car, but I had left the lights on too. I did not know this. So Dad went by in the school bus, he left, and we all snuck into the school. And we got out, I looked at the lights, and they were on. And I said, Dad knows. I couldn't think in school that day. I was worried all day long. And when I got home, after taking the Sanders kids home, there he was sitting in his chair. And I said, Dad, I already planned this out. Kind of like the prodigal son coming home. Dad, I messed up. I didn't do what you said. And he said, I know. I saw the lights on and you guys smoking in the car. And I said, I directly disobeyed what you asked me to do. And he said, well, not only did I have to get upset with you, but I had to go back to make sure you went and turned the lights out so the battery wouldn't run down. So I had to make two trips to the school and waste some time that I wanted to do something else. I said, I know, Dad, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You know what he said? No. I'm disappointed in you, and no. You deliberately did exactly the opposite of what I said. So no. And I sat there, and you know, that no was the toughest thing for me. Because I had done wrong intentionally. And here's this psalmist, David, saying, God, you know all about me. You know wherever I go, even if I go, it says later in the psalm, to the highest mountain, to the depths of the sea, to the depths of hell, or Sheol, you're there. And when I read that as a kid, I said, God's just like Dad. God's watching. And He's going to see if I'm good or bad. And if I'm bad intentionally, He's not going to forgive me. But if I'm good or bad and I'm unintentional, I'm innocent about it, maybe He will. You know, if you do something wrong, you didn't know it was wrong. Or you didn't know you were doing the wrong thing. And I had that understanding about God that He was waiting for me to do wrong. And He would always be there ahead of me to stab me or grab me and shake me and say, what are you doing here? But you know what? That's not what David understood about God. And I'm glad that I don't think that way anymore. I want to share with you that as David, if you remember his story, King David started out as a small boy. Do you remember? He was a shepherd, right? And as a shepherd, he would face wolves, bears, lions, whatever kind of animal was out there coming after the sheep, and he would kill them with the sling. And he never got killed. And one day he heard about this guy named Goliath, right? And everybody was afraid of him. And he goes up to the king at that time, who was kind of psychologically unstable, and says, I'll fight him. And he says, if you want to, go ahead. And he says, I fought lions and bears. Who is this man to come against God? I'm on God's side. This man isn't. I got more in me than he has in him, and I'm a kid. And he goes up against Goliath, and Goliath goes, all you got is a sling. He says, no, I come at you with the word of God. And today you're going to know, and all the Philistines are going to know, that there is a God in Israel. And that's what he said to them. And that's what he said to Goliath as he let the sling fly and destroyed this man and cut his head off. Wiped his enemy out. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you think that maybe God was there ahead of time, you might be willing to go there, right? But was God in the Philistine camp? Was God there in the people who didn't believe in God? Or was God not there? I've come to understand that although we talk about an omnipresent God who is everywhere, I don't see God like that. I see Him as ever-present. That He's everywhere I am. That no matter where I go, He's there too. And for a long time I thought it meant He was already there. But what David understood, and I became aware of, is that God went with me. And He saw the place and the situation before I arrived, because He knew where I was going and He planned the way for me. Do you know how you can come to this understanding? Is because a shepherd's job is not always clear, because we don't have a whole lot in this country to look at and watch. And so we have to get resources. I was in Germany one time, and I tried to learn about German sheep. I didn't know much about sheep back then. If they hear your voice, you know, they will run the other way. As a matter of fact, I was in Germany one time, tried to call some sheep, and they ran the other way. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't speak German." These sheep were afraid of me. I thought it was because I spoke the wrong language. But it was the sound of the voice. But I want to share with you that a true shepherd, what he'll do is before the sheep go out, wherever they're going to graze, he'll go and check the path that they're going to walk. And he'll check for rocks and dangers and places where wild animals might hang out and threatening enemies. He'll check every bit of that pathway to make sure it's safe for them. And he'll pick the best path for them so they don't get hurt. And he can move the herd through them without any danger. In other words, he's going where the sheep are going, ahead of them, and coming back to go with them. And so that's what David's kind of saying. Although I may wind up in the depths of the sea, God has already been there, and He's safe, and I'm safe because He's there with me. He's already been there ahead of me because He knew I was going there. And so He's always present with me, but He's also present in where I'm going to be. I don't know if God was in the Philistine camp, but I do know this, that the Philistines knew there was a God in the Israelite camp. That's for sure. And David talks about something very powerful. He says, "When I was in my mother's womb, You fashioned me together." Last week, some scientists came up with the conclusion that they don't know how bones are formed in the womb. They're trying to work on the same thing that Mike Patterson's brother has, is the stem cells, which form your blood cells in your bones. They're trying to figure out how bones are formed so they can find a cure. They can't figure it out. Well, God knows. He fashioned them the way they were fashioned in the womb. He knew your life and what kind of person you would be because He made you the way you are. Now you say, "Well, I had 23 chromosomes from my mom and 23 chromosomes from my dad. That's what made me the way you are." Well, maybe that's so. But did you know there were several hundred thousand sets of chromosomes of 23 from your dad that could have been you? And only one got it? That over 100,000 other chromosome sets are not you, that could have been you? I think God had some opportunity there to show you that you are the way you are, not by chance. The problem is sometimes we don't like it. Why did I have these parents? Why was I born in this century? Why do I look like this? Why can't I be taller, shorter, straight hair, curly hair? We always want what we don't have. And God says when you become content with what you do have, He can bless you there. And now get this. And this is what I really like. David says, "If I go to the depths of Sheol, the very pit of hell, God's not afraid to go there with me." As a matter of fact, He explored it to make sure I'd stay safe. If I fly on the wings of heaven, I'm not going to crash down because God holds me in His everlasting arms. I'm safe. So I don't have to be afraid of anything. And that's what He's talking about. The depths, the heights, or the pits of despair. And so if you have difficulty in your life with struggling with depression or a tough financial situation or a physical pain, God has already explored that ahead of you and is there with you in it and wants you to know He's keeping you safe there. Sometimes we want to see God as someone who's there and looking at us and saying, what are you going to do wrong? Or what are you going to do right? But that's not what David says here. He says, you are there even in my darkness. And some of us have experienced darkness. Some of us have been so alone or sad or down and out that we didn't think anybody could ever feel that way or understand us. But it says that God is there with us in the darkness He can see through. He sees it as light. Folks, we have all sorts of darkness. I'm sure the day that Kayla messed up her knee and she realized her volleyball season was going to fall by the wayside, there was some darkness there. But God was there. And He had a plan and a purpose and a way. And sometimes we don't see that God's making a way. Each one of us can talk about a place in our life where it wasn't too fun to be. But God will say, and David would say, God was there with you. Because He's not afraid of your darkness. I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. Did you know that? I still don't like it, but I'm not afraid of it as much anymore. And I had claustrophobia. Do you know God doesn't have any of those problems? God doesn't have claustrophobia. He gets you out of tight places. He's not afraid of the dark because He is light. Everything that you're afraid of, God brings to your situation to help you out of it. He has that ability. When you realize He's there, that He's ever present. And when you begin to understand God is there, then you understand David's words when he says to God, you saw my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them, talking about in his mother's womb. He said, you understood me even before I took my first breath, you knew me. And God doesn't look at us with these critical eyes. I don't know where we get that from. God is looking at us with eyes to say, let me support you, encourage you, heal you, restore you, forgive you, and raise you up to the level where I am. He goes to our depths of despair and our pits to lift us up. Not to leave us there, but first of all to join us there to say, you can survive this. Not only that, but you will prosper. When we begin to understand that God is always there with us, no matter where we go, then the last two verses make sense. When David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, if you're thinking God's judging you, you're thinking, well, you know, stop me so I don't get judged. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if there's something inside of me that keeps pushing me away from where you want me to be, show me. Show me my heart. Show me my thoughts that keep me going to these pits and despair and ruination of my own life. Help me stop sabotaging myself. Help me. I cannot see it. help me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Find out if there's something wicked in me, God. If there's something evil that I can't stop. That keeps pushing me away where You got to keep rescuing me all the time. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of making the same dumb mistakes. And I'm sure God gets tired of rescuing me. But you know what? He doesn't act tired of it. I just figure one of these times I'll quit making them, right? But why not pray what David said? Lord, look in my heart and my thoughts and see where I keep messing myself up. Because if you really look closely, most of our problems were from our own choices. But when we realize that in every choice we make, God is there and will help us if we just ask. And He will lead us if we will allow it. Sure, that can be scary because you don't know where God's going to lead you, but your choices will get you to the same place each time. And you'll end up back in the same position again. Einstein said it like this. Einstein was a smart guy. He said, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. So if you keep saying, Lord, I'm going to do it my way again and think you're going to get it right this time without His help and it still hadn't worked, that's insanity. All David says for us to understand His presence with us and His guiding is to ask Him to show us the places in our lives that we can't see very well or at all and ask Him to cleanse us, to remove those so that we can respond freely with joy rather than out of fear of judgment or out of fear that we're going to fail or out of fear that we don't know how to manage our lives, but rather out of the joy that God loves us and He supports us and He allows us to fall as many times as we need until we no longer need to. I don't know about you, but I find that this psalm really, really blesses me that way. Because the darkness, God's not afraid of. And He's not afraid of your worst nightmare. He's come to heal it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You are always there, always present. I ask that as we've gathered here, You would wash over us and search our hearts. Know our thoughts. And whatever needs to be changed, show us. Let Your Holy Spirit begin its work in us to make us more like You. Help us to live empowered lives by that movement You've done in us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You so much. Amen.